No trumpet.
No trumpet.
No trumpet.
Sad day.
GMG Jimmy failed me once again.
Short notice. I just can't pull it out of my...
out of your kazoo.
Trump.
Yeah. I got Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz for a midweek bonus.
Yes.
Gloucestercast.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
It's a beautiful sunny morning.
I'm back at work.
Yep.
It's ice cold out.
Well, it's warmer than it's been.
I left last Friday for Montreal. Got that. Everybody should take advantage of this. We'll talk about Montreal in a little bit, but WestJet has those $57 direct flights.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. But I got to Montreal, and it was raining, and there wasn't a stitch of snow on the ground at all.
Oh.
We went to bed Friday night. Listen to these guys screaming. They're like savages
out
there.
We have a chorus in the background.
Savages. Went to bed. It was not a stitch of snow on the ground. Woke up to 1 foot overnight in Montreal.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
But they handle it well.
It's just the
I hope everybody's enjoying the ambiance and the background. This is really working.
This is absolutely, you know, it's a working place. It's a working job.
We're screaming at each other down there.
Remember, this is Good Morning Gloucester, my life.
This is real deal stuff.
My life from the docks.
I hope there's just no fist fights. That's okay. So, speaking of fist fights and fishermen, here's the thing. Like, people talk about the perfect storm, and they talk about fishermen, and, you know, big tough, and you know they're rugged, you know, hardy souls.
Yeah.
But as long as I've been down here, I'm 50 years old now. I've been here since I was 9 years old, so that's 41 years in the dock. I think I may have seen one or two people throw fists.
Really?
In all of that time. And I'm around,
I wouldn't,
you know, like 100 fishermen a day.
Oh, yeah.
You would think more, right?
I would have predicted that. Yes, absolutely. Would have thought more.
You would think more. And that's what the perception is, that we all they do is drink and fight.
Right.
And that's not the case at all. Like, no. We talk about the crow's nest where I got engaged.
Yeah.
the most romantic thing I've seen in
ever.
Well, at least a week.
At least a week.
Crow's nest (), where I got engaged.
And not fist fights there.
No.
I think, you know what it is? I think it's like the average age of commercial fishermen has gone way high.
Right.
Like, you know, like with all the consolidation and like young adults or whatever, they don't send their kids intentionally to the sea because
you don't have the young men are more likely to get themselves in those kinds of fist fight kinds of situations, physical situations.
Well, we're all old now. You just don't have the energy to throw down.
Exactly. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for it, but
I think there's a lot of yelling back and forth between the two. I mean, it's out of respect. I mean, right down here, we got two guys coming in, and this is how they probably do it.
That's
out there.
That's not an argument at all. Those are like terms of endearment that's thrown back and forth right
and
now.
And that's my point. I think there's a lot of terms of endearment out there that people are reading as, they're fighting in this stuff. And
well, it's funny, like the banter and the conversations that we have. If there was like a reality show that put. You know, it's just, you know, if you film down here, like, they would look at us like we're absolute savages. But that's probably true, like, any kind, like, a machine shop or when there's any group of guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a whole different.
Yeah.
But, like, if you took those.
It'd be like Orange County with the.
If you took those statements and just, like, wrote them out and said, this guy said this. Like, we would all be like, you know,
on paper out of context.
On paper out of context of the group of guys, like, you would think that we're all.
You'd be on Stephen Colbert every night. he would.
But speaking of, so we had this little conversation before the podcast started about, is a liberal arts college education one of the biggest scams going today?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, he's so loud.
there's some terms of endearment flowing out there.
They're just talking above the engines.
We talked about, like, is a liberalized college education.
Yeah, we did talk about
and,
that.
And, you know, we, and the, and I think what I came to, what it came down to was the pendulum. And it seems like, you know, for so many years, people had been told that if you don't get a four-year college degree, you're a nobody. Mm-hmm. And so many people send their kids to college, parents or children, young adults, like, get loans, or parents get loans, and they get take on these big mortgages. And so, you know, some college degrees, actually, you come out and you make really good money right off the bat, and they're great degrees. Mm-hmm. But some of them, you come out,
yeah,
and you can't even get a job that, like, pays what your nut is on your student loan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
Our son is experiencing that right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He's struggling with.
He graduated from a 4-year.
He graduated with a 4-year English degree, New York State School, and is struggling to find a job in his field, and is working really close to minimum wage, and it's a struggle. It's a big struggle.
Yeah. No, I know. And so on the inverse of that, the trades, it seems like we're. Like, no one wanted to get their hands dirty for the past 20 years.
Well, the schools didn't, well, in New York, at least, I don't know about other states, but in New York, it was definitely downplayed, and it was all about college readiness. It was all about, it still is.
Well, now they have these, now there's a whole college industry of people that you pay to help you fill out the college applications.
That's right.
It's almost like a wedding planner,
especially federal forms. You pay people to help you with that because they say that it takes a long time.
It can be pretty daunting, though. I mean,
I talk to people that they say it's completely insane.
It can, but yeah, oh, it is. Mm-hmm. It's very confusing. We are educated people, and when we were going through that, I was, you know, tiptoeing my way through that stuff and going, how do people, I consider myself educated, consider myself fairly experienced in forms and government requirements, and I'm like, how do people do this? No wonder people have trouble. No wonder you leave a space blank on a form, or you submit it late, or you, whatever, you know, I would almost have hired somebody.
And it's also
make sure I did it right.
It's true, and we couldn't believe it, but sometimes if you leave that blank or something, it's big time money that you're missing out on.
Yeah.
And it's all because she didn't fill out right or whatever.
But
so
there is more to a 4-year college or any college experience than maybe just what the classes are giving you or what the degree gives you. So
absolutely,
and
there is.
That is at least as big of a piece, I feel, an important piece for young adults.
In
some fashion.
I agree with you. Like, getting out of the house, away from your comfort zone in your local community, going away, being on your own.
Manage yourself.
And being around people that are aspiring to the same type of things.
Which may or may not mean a college atmosphere, but
but then you have, what we're going towards is this dearth of people working in the trades, and the pendulum, it seems like, has started to swing back that way. The trade schools have become, actually, I think there's some trade schools that, like, it's actually tough to get into them now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, I think Essex Aggie or some of these schools, it's actually, you're lucky to get into them now.
Well, it was getting so bad in New York State, in the state schools, that it was getting hard for an average student, 80, 85 average-ish.
That's better than average.
To get in.
Wow.
To the state schools.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, I don't know if this is what the intention of this was, to make them be.
But you see how much, now you see how much a plumber, electrician, an appliance guy, all these people, how much they make, and how much they'll tell you, like, I'm booked up. Don't worry, you know. I have friends that are in these trades, yeah, that say, like, you don't even worry about if you don't call me, because I have so much work that if you call, right, someone else, you will not offend me.
I agree. I think the pendulum's starting to swing back, and there's more openness to in high schools, college. You know, when you go into the guidance office and you say, we're going to sit down and talk about what you're doing in the future, I think it's starting to swing back to more open choices in terms of trade schools, military, college, two-year schools, four-year school, whatever the various choices are.
So, well, imagine, I mean, just the scenario is mind-boggling that you could spend over $50,000 a year and come out and not get a good, decent job.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that? Like, how do you reconcile that with, I could go to a four-year college, spend what, you know, a starter home around here, you know, is $400,000, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
You spend over half of what you would cost for that whole mortgage, and then come out with something that you're not even making.
That you can't.
You're like, it's so you take away, it's almost like you're getting double screwed.
Right,
because money, you know what I mean.
Oh,
like having the money towards the mortgage, so you only have a $200,000 mortgage, but no, you have $200,000 in student loans. That's a $400,000 swing.
Yeah,
right.
And you're 25.
And that's all
years old or something like that.
Right, but that's all assuming that you're not getting a degree like a accounting
degree
or legal degree or some type of a degree where you can graduate,
right,
and make money.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, I mean, there
like
are degrees.
Said, like, oh, absolutely.
It's just such the choices. Like, how do you get to your child while they're in school and talk about their major and say, listen, it's your life, but you really need to think long and hard about what you're doing, like what major you're going to graduate, what degree you're going to come out of this school with, especially if it's your money and my money on the line.
It's amazing to me when you think about talking to 15 and 16-year-old kids about making these kinds of decisions, which are huge and long, can be huge and long-lasting implications. It's like, what's wrong with us adults expecting these 15 and 16-year-olds to make these kinds of decisions?
They're still naive, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're very naive. Like I talk, sometimes, like, at the end of my lobster season, I'm physically and mentally crushed. I come home, and I'm kind of, like, dragging my feet, and my daughter will say, well, why don't you just do something else, Dad? And I'm like... I'm like, well, you know, I got to support you guys somehow. Right. And, you know.
It doesn't work quite like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's where we're at with that. I forgot to mention at the start, we have two tickets available to anyone that shares this on Facebook, the podcast. KPAN Community Cinema. Is kind of sponsors it by providing these tickets for a Good Morning Gloucester readers. The first person that shares it gets the stickers. It's that easy. So if you see this podcast on the blog, look just below the post. There'll be a little Facebook button. Press that button and share it, and we'll get a notification. So I was in Montreal this past weekend. You and I had spoke
before you left.
Before I left, and you had said, yeah, you weren't really fans of Montreal. And I was scratching my head because I love the city.
It was a long time ago, but...
It was a long time ago, but you said something, and I want to say it's the tale of two Montreals. Because what you had said was the people weren't that friendly. It was a long time ago, and you also said
it was during a time when there was a referendum going on about... choice of language, English or French, I believe.
Right. But we went, and you had said this before I left, how you kind of weren't, and I was like, how could anyone not like Montreal? And then I kind of might have picked up on what you were talking about. When we were in restaurants or in the hotel or any place where there's service people, everybody was super friendly. On the streets, downtown, there was almost a, like a air of all being all business and like.
Yeah, that's what we didn't. That's what we didn't. It didn't feel friendly. That's what we picked up on our visit many years ago, and we always we had been to Toronto, and Toronto was a directly different from that.
Yes.
And we'd been to Toronto a couple of times, several times, and we always felt comfortable in Toronto. We always felt welcomed and friendly, but we didn't have that experience in Montreal.
I think it's, I'm going to do that trip every single year, I think.
Good.
And especially with those flights. But
oh, yeah.
We happened to luck out, and I didn't know this when we booked the flights, that the Bruins were going to be playing the Montreal Canadiens. And
bonus.
It was such a bonus. I'm going to tell you, so now it's been two times that I've used StubHub for tickets. And I'm gonna tell people what I believe from my intense studying of ticket purchase patterns, what my theory is. I intensely stared at StubHub before the Boston Celtics Cleveland game, which was a high profile game.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And for the Montreal Bruins, Canadiens.
Yeah, you showed us what you were looking at, yeah.
So it seems like there's a sweet spot. Like, I think that for any of these games, regular season games, even premier games, I think you can get tickets on StubHub at a very good deal. And here is where I find the sweet spot to be. So you have to download the app, because the app gives you information. It gives you how many tickets are available,
right?
And it has maps of the venue,
the arena.
As you go through the prices, you scroll through the prices. It shows you a dot where the seats are located.
All the info you need.
So, 3 days before the Cleveland game or the Montreal Bruins game, the prices were over the face value, like very high. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Not so for like a non-division games or anything like that, but for premier games, like three games ahead of time, they're really high. People that have these tickets and are looking to resell them are looking to score, right? Then, like the day of the game, the prices take a big drop, like maybe 20% that morning of the game. They take like a 20% drop.
Oh.
Then, about 5 hours before the game, the prices take another 20% drop. So the tickets that we were looking at were like 100, and like 2 days beforehand were like $135. The morning of, early in the morning of, they dropped down to right around $90 to $100.
Oh, nice.
And like four or 5 hours before the game, there were tickets like nosebleed. You have to understand, nosebleed seats available. But these modern venues, there are no bad seats,
right,
as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
There are no bad seats.
It's about the experience.
The speaker systems, the jumbotrons. You see everything. I mean, you may not be able to read the the names on the jerseys, but you're getting a great experience. Mm-hmm. So four or five hours beforehand, prices were down into the 70s.
Really?
For these tickets.
Yeah.
So we get to go for not a lot of money.
Very good.
And you can pick them up. I mean,
no.
Like
so now they have these, it's
they
mobile tickets.
The
so you have the app.
Beautiful.
You purchase the ticket.
And
you bring you bring your cell phone. You just hold the cell phone up.
Beautiful.
They scan it and you're in. You don't have to worry about printing out a ticket, all that pain in the ass stuff.
Right, or losing it.
Well,
you could lose your phone, I suppose. But
so,
that's a bigger problem.
Like, I mean, the Patriots football game, whatever their prices are right now, I bet you, like the morning of the game, the prices will be a little bit lower. They may not be like $70, but they'll be, relatively
low. It's great
for
people to have the flexibility of being able to make that decision on the day just a few hours ahead.
The other thing,
in the situation you were in.
So the other thing was, if you're in town, so that Cleveland game, after about 5 minutes of the first quarter, the prices were way lower.
Oh.
So if you're like, see, for you to make that decision, you got to be in town,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like maybe at a bar across the street,
right?
And you press the button, and you get to see it.
That would be kind of cool. Oh, we just decided.
I've done stuff up with the baseballs, stadiums. I never did the app thing, you know, but I've done it, and I agree with you that as you get closer, it changes, or if the news changes, like with baseball, all of a sudden somebody is now going to be back
pitcher.
He's back and he's ready, or they move the pitcher to that game. Boy, all of a sudden you see how they just moved it up. It's a game. But I never did the app, so of course I had to either get the tickets right
print
then,
them out.
Or they do offer that you can get them in roll call. But that app thing is...
You don't have to wait in any lines.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is seamless. It's seamless. Really, really great take. And okay. So we went down to downtown... here's one of the parts I love about downtown Montreal. Like, all the really nice hotels are all right in the center.
Oh, okay.
And everything is within, like, 4 or 5 blocks.
Oh, nice.
So if you dress appropriately... You don't even have to get.
How did you pick
you
your
really
hotel?
Don't have to get
was
a cab.
It a place you'd been to before, or
what's that?
How did you pick your hotel?
I use Hotwire quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
And I
didn't know
the American dollar is so strong
versus
Mexican money and Canadian money that we stayed in a 5-star hotel for I think it was $109 a night.
Nice.
I mean,
yeah.
And like the day of, so I booked it like maybe a couple weeks ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
The day of, like they're on Hotwire, it was like 250. So
it works in reverse for the hotel in some ways.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I mean, unless they had.
But it was a weekend. And
a Saturday weekend with the Bruins in town.
Right.
Great take. I mean, the dollar's so strong. That same hotel room. Downtown Boston was a $250 room.
Yeah.
Minimum. And you walk.
And you can walk.
Like you are within 2 football fields of probably 150 incredible restaurants.
And it's easy to get from the airport to downtown?
It's a $40 cab ride.
But that's not
terrible.
It's direct and
no, it's not $40. It's $40 Canadian dollars.
Which
is less. You know.
So that's not a long ride.
No, it's 20 minutes. 20 minutes is nothing.
That's easy peasy.
So next year, I'm hoping. I mean, I'm not sure. It just depends on when my January vacation time comes.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Bruins are playing,
back to Montreal,
there's not a question that I'm gonna do that all over the same move. Go right back up there.
Great
take.
And the arena was nice.
Oh, gorgeous. Beautiful arena. No bad seats. Great sound system. You know,
and you could walk to the arena.
Yeah, I mean, we were 5 blocks away.
Nice.
So we walked to Peel Pub, is kind of a famous bar down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went there we got a pizza, and like the beers were cheap, $3 beers or something.
Oh my goodness.
Like
downtown somewhere?
Downtown, like literally 2 blocks from the Bell Center.
Wow.
Like not Boston prices.
Right.
And then
so
we walked.
So do you have a new taste for...
The
Bats Blue, or
no, Canadian. I drank Bud Light.
Oh, okay.
I'm Coors Light. I'm wimpy like that. So anyway, Montreal, great take for me.
Great.
We're talking what?
No, great. I think that's you guys deserved it too. I mean, it's great that you got a little vacation, then you got not only a good deal, but good time. I mean, always makes it so much better.
Good company. We're talking about this. I always have stress, and
I'll bet you do. I mean,
you know, just
you do a lot of physical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have this tension in my neck, and it starts at my shoulders, and it goes right up the back of my neck, and I know it's tension, and it creates. So I have this pain in my neck. And I was trying to find a nice heating pad at the house, but it doesn't kind of like flop over. But I remembered that we used to have this thing that had, like, I thought it was beans in it. But Pat, you say that that's corn.
Typically, they're corn kernels.
Corn kernels,
corn bags.
And you lay, and you kind of like drape them over your neck.
Mm-hmm. Well, they come in, usually come in different sizes and shapes. They don't usually come very, very big. I think that's because they won't get stuffed in the microwave to heat them up, you know, too easily, and if they're too big. Yeah. But I'm practically addicted to mine. I have it all the time. I love it, love it, love it. And I have another one that's got rice in it, because that's another thing you might find in these at craft shows or on Etsy or different places. But I don't like the rice one as much. I don't know if it's the rice that's in there or what, but it seems to get kind of damp. And the corn kernels don't do that. The corn kernels, they keep their heat quite a while if you...
How do you regulate it so you don't have it too hot and burn yourself?
You just learn how long it takes to heat it up.
Yeah.
You know, I heat mine up for 3 minutes, and then it has to rest if it's a little too hot. But
yeah. Do you wrap it in a bag?
No.
You just put it right
on. It's in a bag. It's in a bag.
Is it fabric, right?
Decorative fabric bag, yeah. and inside of it is a muslin bag that's stuffed with the corn kernel, so you can remove the fabric one and
wash it
or whatever. So I love mine.
I'm gonna look into that.
Something like that would help. I found mine on Etsy. That would look there.
All right, I'll check it
different
out.
Different sizes.
I'll put
and
some
shapes.
Links.
Yeah.
Speaking of buying stuff, Kate's. So we're up in Montreal in the Canada Juice.
Oh yeah.
I'm gonna say. Okay, I don't want to over exaggerate. I'm going to say 40% of the people walking around in the areas that we were, well, obviously it's a nice section of town,
right,
downtown Montreal, were wearing Canada Goose jackets or Canada Juice. Maybe, okay, no, if I include the Canada Goose jacket knockoffs, I'm going to say it was 65-70%
wow.
of the people were wearing those type of jackets.
Wow.
And... They a big portion of those people were wearing the real deal ones, and a big and certainly more women, but a lot of men wearing those jackets. And those jackets are, we talked about this, over $800, and they are not discounted.
And
like if you see them discounted, they're like most places have them for like $860. If they're discounted, you might see a place that has them for $800.
Well, that speaks to their quality then, because they must keep people good and warm and last a long time.
It does speak to their quality. There has to be something. Just like I say the Uggs, there has to be something to it. At the same time, so my theory is there has to be a company that can do the same, that can build these things.
Right.
For less than, you can't tell me
that
it costs them
$600
to produce this and they're going to make $200 on it.
Yeah.
So my theory is that someone should be able to manufacture the same quality jacket or 90% of the same quality jacket for half the money. Has to be able to do it.
I would agree with you.
So I have set out to do a little research on this, and we found this North Face jacket that people rave about, and so there's things that people need so now that we've done a little bit of research about it, there are different options that people need to consider. So someone like Kim Smith, right, who has one. And here's one of the numbers that is $650 fill count or whatever of is a gauge for how much fill is in there. 650, and I don't know if that's something per square inch is probably what I'm thinking, but anyway, that's the thing. Kim Smith is outdoors for long periods of time, photographing waterfowl and nature and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that jacket, in the form that she purchased hers, is really intended for being outdoors for big long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
For Kate, who is in and out of a car all over New England.
Yep.
And she goes from the car to an office and back out, and it's maybe huge. She has a little bit of walking to do outdoors, but not a ton.
Right. It's you, so it's gonna. It's,
you're not gonna wear a big bulky jacket like that.
You're not gonna need.
You're not gonna need
maybe or the want the bulk.
Like I find that sometimes I buy jackets, and they're too bulky and too restrictive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I, as soon as I get in the car and I put my belt
and
buckle
you feel
on,
like you're in
I feel like I can't wait to be able to be at a stoplight to rip this jacket off.
Yeah.
Because I'm uncomfortable.
That does happen sometimes.
Right.
Yeah.
So. There are these other jackets that are warm, but they are they have different type of fillers, and they have like a material that's really soft, and you can kind of within the jacket itself you kind of slide around, but they're they are much less weight.
Oh, are these the goose down jackets heavy ish?
They're just it's just a different style. There are different styles of jackets, so I just think that people should be aware of when they buy, because we were all about buying one of the, Kate was all about finding one or a knockoff one or finding one on super sale or something like that. And now that we've been really processing it, she's like, you know what? I don't know that like. I'm not outdoors for long periods of time.
She says, out standing in a marsh trying to get a frog to jump into.
She was, I don't know that I need that. I need a long, warm thing. And so she's very shapely as well,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't necessarily want a big bulky jacket either. She kind of wants something that's flatters her figure. Mm-hmm. So there are other jackets out there. So we looked at this North Face Arctic Parka. Two, it's been redesigned to make it even more cool, and so we're getting it, and we're going to report. We're going up to look at it, and we're going to go look at this other one from Patagonia, and we're going to report back our findings.
Okay,
but just something. The main point is you have to really identify your use. Before you go out and buy a super expensive jacket that may not be what you want.
Kim was very positive. She loves her jacket. She
for her use, it's worth every penny.
And I think that it's what they're filled with that makes it, it's part of the reason it's so expensive, I think.
Yeah, I think like down, but like, I think that, I really believe I think they're really well made. Really well made. But and they have real coyote fur lining hats of the hood. But I do believe a huge part of that price tag is a total status thing.
When she bought it, it was before they were this big status thing.
So I know she gets the sense from her that she's thinking that I'm like taking a shot at her, she did not buy it for that purpose.
No.
Whereas there are a lot of people that are doing it that way.
Good luck with that. We'll look forward to hearing about it.
You could have used one of those when you were at Wolf Hollow.
We could have used one at Wolf Hollow. Nice segue there. Well done. Yes, we went to Wolf Hollow on Sunday. They're open on Sundays throughout the winter for only 2 hours. Every Sunday.
How was there a big crowd?
There was a huge crowd. That big was crowd. One of the things that really surprised us. I bought my tickets online. We'd been there another time and we're told that there weren't any tickets available. So I got a little bit smarter and I bought the tickets online this time. And we got there and it was maybe 1:45 and they say they open at 1:00. And there were lots of cars around. It's a little confusing about the parking situation. So what you do is you line up on the street until he opens the gate, and then the cars, and then the
cars. There are some signs there that says that, but you really don't see that.
It doesn't make it really clear. Yeah.
They have a main open area, so you would think, oh, let me pull in there. But around, I mean, they didn't expect, we got there early. We got there, again, about 1:45,
mm-hmm.
and I was ready to pull in. There was another guy in front of me, and we were ready to pull in. All of a sudden, the guy's like stopping us, and he put out cones saying, no, no, no.
Wow.
And the guy in front of me, he was the talker, so you just followed what he did, and basically they told him, circle around. So we circled around again, and we went to the other gate, and there was a sign on the gate says, this gate will open up at 1 o'clock, line starts here, and we went, line starts here.
Yeah.
Well, at 1 o'clock, he opened it up, and
yeah.
Wow, all the people driving in, and they would show you where to park. Then they had to shut that lot down.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And I was a little nervous because I got New York State plates, and I'm saying to Pat, parking on a state highway, I think somebody would go by saying, New York State, let's go welcome them here. So when we were done with everything, there was a lot of cars out there parked on the state highway
It was sunny and very cold. It was about 20 degrees that day. They only sell so many tickets. The entire program was outdoors, which I wasn't entirely expecting. it's sheltered, but it's outside. And so there's benches, so that, you know, a certain number of seats that they sold tickets for. At 1:30 starts an hour-long presentation, which was pretty informative. They were highlighting three of their wolves, which are hand-raised. I believe she said hand-raised. Domesticated. They looked very healthy. They did not look like...
They're not scavenging.
They're not scavenging around. They're not looking like some of those wolves you see in the movies that I'm thinking
I caution you right now?
Yeah.
You have to be very careful what you say about the wolves. Because those wolf people are one of those subsets of people that are absolutely psychotic. Like, you can't say anything bad about a wolf or misrepresent what they say about the wolves because... They're the only people that know exactly what what the wolves are about, and anybody that says anything contrary to them, they're gonna climb up your ass and tell you what kind of a fool you are. So just make sure you're reiterating everything they said to a T, so we don't get in trouble.
Right, right. Okay, understood. Understood. The program was pretty informative. These wolves did not look like the Dancing with Wolves. Let's put it that way. They looked very well fed and very well taken care of. There were people inside the enclosure with them, a couple people inside the enclosure interacting with the wolves, which surprised me a bit. But it was, I enjoyed it. It was their first day in the new year opening up, and they have a new building.
Oh, wow.
And that was their first day of using the new building that the gift shop and ticket center was in, ticket desk. Previously, it had been in their house, the owner's house, I guess.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so they have a new building. There were, as I said, a lot of people there. I was completely stunned.
It's very interesting.
It was very interesting.
It's very interesting. It is.
I want to take my little kids back.
You didn't take kids there?
No, not that day.
It is an absolute. When you have kids like that are let's see, like, you know, 4 years old to whatever,
mm-hmm.
and this certain day, if they're not doing the sport thing yet, and like every minute
of
your day,
you
need certain activities. This is a great place.
This is this is perfect. Yeah. And that's why we can't take our favorite little ones. It's because they're tied up in sports every weekend right now, but
yeah.
I think that they would like it. That they would, it's reasonably priced.
Yeah.
I thought, and I think we're gonna want to go back.
Yeah. They took off at the main one that we were looking at. There's two side ones. There's two side areas. That once they're done with their presentation, they say, please go visit the others. We have people there. Ask them questions. Go do things. So we were all sitting at the main one, looking at the three.
The enclosure.
And the three wolves, they all kind of went on their own way and kind of went around. Everyone started laughing because the guy was standing by himself and they all took off. So he talked to somebody and all of a sudden she came out with some treats. And she came out with a bag. And as soon as she shook that bag, they all came running again. And they were right there. And
Very wild. That's what happens in the wild.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm just saying, if you're ever out there and shake a bag and you understand why they come running at. Uh-huh.
One of the reasons that intrigued me about going was they have a special photographer session that you can purchase.
Oh.
And you go around the enclosures and they have openings where you can get better pictures. So I wanted to see the program to decide if I might want to take advantage of that. I probably won't do that. I felt like I got what I wanted from what I was able to, the angle I had already. So I probably won't pay the extra to get the photographer's session. But that intrigued me. Mm. And it might intrigue others.
Yeah. That's a good take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of wildlife, everybody see Kim's year in review post?
Oh,
yeah.
That's some good stuff, huh?
That was, you know, and I was going through it and I was thinking, oh, I remember that. And it brought back good memories. It was fun to watch through the whole year
What a full life she leads.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? As far as if that's your passion, she fills her days with interesting
with
things.
With the things that she loves.
Those beavers. What was the highlight of those, of all of our pictures? The beavers were for me. Because I didn't realize, I've seen them from afar. I've never seen any, I've seen them like probably from 200 feet away, and it was really more shadows of them, like the outlines of them, not like the photos that she got. Amazing. With eating the eel. So what was your highlight?
I think it's got to be the piping plovers. But I think the monarchs could take a close second. You could make an argument that the monarchs.
So next summer, if you guys are here, living here, excuse me.
That's okay.
If you're here, are you guys going to take a watch during the plover watch?
I could see that being something you guys would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that. Jimmy, how about you? Are you going to let her go on her way?
Yeah, if they serve beer. Yeah. I mean, I would go look at it. I'm intrigued by all that too.
No, but not to look at it. Like they have the plover watches to make sure that no dogs go trampling through the plover.
I would do that because it's almost like we go in to pick up things.
Right.
You know, I help out pick up on beaches and everything else. So this is it's a watch. Mm-hmm. I'll do my share.
Yeah. Are you?
I would do that.
Are you going to watch the football? Are you an NFL fan?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So who are you rooting for?
Who am I rooting for?
Yeah.
Be careful how you answer that question. No.
Come on. Who are you rooting for? Oh. You can be honest. I'm not going to shit on you. Who are you rooting for this weekend for the four teams that's left?
The four teams. I think the most intriguing is the Philadelphia-Minnesota game. I think they're relatively close in stature. I like the close games.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I like to
see
that.
Oh, my God. This past weekend was probably one of the best weekends football watching.
I mean, and I also look at the other stuff, too, because being a coach, and you take, there is an advantage to some things. Like, for example, Minnesota's at home. They are one game away from never leaving their place.
Isn't that amazing?
And that is, as someone who is playing, that's a huge goal.
Can you imagine? That's never happened.
Right.
There's never been a home team playing in the Super Bowl at their own at their own venue.
I can't believe that's never happened.
It's never happened. This is like Super Bowl 53 or 54. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But think about how those tickets, because people don't have to pay for travel.
Right.
Worry about, because a lot of it is like, I'm not even going to look into it because I know the flights are going to be stupid.
Right.
If you live in that town, how much are those tickets? And for someone. Jimmy, say you're your age, right, and you're a retired school teacher, right, and you have never, they might have seen them as a kid, right, because Fran Tarkenton, right?
Right.
But it's been a while.
Yeah.
How much would you say for that opportunity to go to a Super Bowl, I mean, talk about bucket list.
Right.
I mean, and it's within your grasp. Oh, my God. I am praying that it's not that Minnesota loses that game. I'm praying, and not to say that the Patriots do not have a pushover with Jackson.
Right.
That defense is awesome.
Well, and again, now going on the other side, the Pats look about their tradition about how many home games, and they're getting all their guys back, so they're really strong. Jacksonville has been, I'm not saying Cinderella team. They've been kind of strong all year. They could upset anything. We saw the big catch that Minnesota did, and the guy missed it. And here is New Orleans 10 seconds away from cheering that we're moving on. And because of a bad tackle.
Do you remember Denver, the Super Bowl a couple of years ago? How much that defense demolished us?
Yes.
The Jacksonville defense, I'm not sure that they're that good, but they're very good. And so I was concerned for a little bit. I was concerned, thinking, watching that game with Jacksonville's defense, how dominant they looked in the first half. Mm-hmm. Then Leonard Fournette kind of twisted his ankle and the other team started coming back. I was like, well, they're not as bulletproof as I thought they were. And then I started thinking about the Patriots having Hogan back, Amendola, two running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield, a healthy Gronk. And I'm saying to myself, a defense can be a great defense, but I don't know how you and Tom Brady, knowing how quick he can release the ball and how smart he is to find an open
receiver,
and he can read the defenses. I think it's just a matter of time before that guy with that kind of weapons. I'm not as concerned as I was when I was watching the first half of that game.
I watched him.
But anyway, you know, I just, after watching this week's NFL games and the excitement and the twists and the turns and the plot turns and everything else, all I could think about was, I can't understand people that don't enjoy sports. Like, I can't wrap my mind around how you could not find that entertaining. I just feel bad for them that they don't have the excitement or joy in their life. I hope, and you know what? I hope there's something else that makes them that excited.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to be honest with you.
No, there's something
that was so incredible. Those games.
The feelings it brings around, and the exhilaration or the disappointments that when you're following your team or even watching just a good game. Like, I'm not that interested, but
there was four games. One of them was the Patriots game. Out of the four games, the Patriots was the least interesting. I'm the Patriots fan. Out of the four games, the Patriots game was the least interesting to me.
Right. Well,
the other games were unbelievable drama.
They're unbelievable, but with the Pats game, I've seen the Pats all of a sudden, you know, like lose it, and I think people were just hoping that that wouldn't happen. And as the game went on, and they were controlling the game more, you knew the Pats had it. They were that good.
Yeah.
So I think the games this coming up, these four, when you say who's your favorite team, I don't know. I think the.
Well, Pats, you don't have in this race. You don't have a dog in this hunt.
No, right. You know, I kind of go, I'm the fair weather fan. You're asking me these four coming up, which is your favorite? Right now the Pats look really unbeatable. They have, to me, of all four teams, they have the best offensive threat. We know defensively they're coming on, but if, you know, hey, so what if you give up 42? You can score 50, you win.
Yeah. If I wasn't a Patriots fan, I would be rooting for Minnesota because of the uniqueness of that.
Oh, sure.
Like of I that said, situation.
For the benefit of their fans. Yeah, that would be.
And Philadelphia, I mean, you lose your star quarterback like that right before the game, and this guy comes in.
Well, the guy was an all-pro, though.
I mean, folks come in, and he's running the team now, and they're still going where they were. That's you got to give him credit for that. As far as Jacksonville.
Oh, here's something else I wanted to mention. I didn't realize this until this morning or last night. If you watched the Minnesota game against the Saints and you thought that there was no hope for Minnesota at all, a game that touchdown at the end and the blown tackle, the guy missed the tackle and knocked his own guy out, I said at the time, how does that guy that missed that tackle, because it was just a poorly executed play. He should have made the play.
He made a choice that was poor.
And he didn't make the tackle. He didn't. I said, how does that guy ever recover from that emotionally, right? And last night I saw the video of him right after the game standing up and speaking to the press and absolute kudos to that young male athlete to stand up, answer the questions, take responsibility. It was very brave, and I have an incredible amount of respect for the way he stood up and answered the and took the responsibility and there have been a few players like that that there's players that, that only talk to the press after wins or you know or cantankerous to, towards the press after a loss. I remember Johnny Damon after bad losses. He would stand there and he would talk to the press, win or lose, and take responsibility for losses. And that's a quality for of players, I think.
And I think that that speaks to the professional athlete.
Yeah, character.
That it's more than just getting paid at the big times to play. There's more than that that actually makes you a professional athlete.
Jimmy, what professional athlete stands out to you in that way? May not be like the greatest athlete, but like is stand up like.
Well, of course, being from New York, I have to stick over with the teams that I know.
So. Yeah, of course.
But there's few. But David Wright, with the Mets, he was always, you know, he would speak to the press. He would speak to individuals when there was craziness going on in the locker room. He would talk to them on the side, also talk to people, the press and everything. So I think David Wright has always been pretty well on things. There's a bunch of ball players that I think are pretty classy that they go through and they talk to people. Cliff Floyd, he was a guy 6'8", bigger than I don't know what, but he always impressed me that he just loved the game. So he would go out and he knew that. And I've seen him drop the ball and the run scored and that was me. But you know what? Kids, learn from this because there's some other people, kids are looking at it and they say you turn it into a teaching moment.
Yeah.
You're turning it into, hey, don't be like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, there's some people like that. I mean, in all sports, I'm sure in hockey too, there was some Bobby Orr. I mean, he was, and Gordie Howe. I mean, those two, they. I've read the books, you know, how they were good. They were good. People would just relate that they would own up. But, you know, getting back to that guy that missed it, yeah, he had that interview, but I think someone taught him well that his play, yup, that play gave them the winning touchdown that won it. But there was four quarters, and there was a bunch of other plays earlier that you don't tell me because I know I did it too. I sat right there going, oh, that's the play. That because of that play, they're not coming back.
Yeah.
So he knows that, yup, it's me, and everyone's focusing on me. But he knows it was a team thing straight through. And I got to give a lot of people for that.
Yeah.
A lot of credit. He's taught well.
Yeah. Paprika Grill, the location is officially listed for rent. $1,100 a month. I have a link. Jimmy provided me the link. To get more information,
yep.
if any restaurateur would like to start up there.
Now you said they're moving to
Center Street, where I think I'm guessing where the barber shop was. There, the guy, the Cthulhu kid that died.
Oh, okay.
Across from, diagonally from Pastaya Via Corta.
Yep.
Up the hill from Passports.
Yep.
On the left, if you're going up the hill.
Mm-hmm.
You've been fascinated, I note, Pat, with the Snowy Owls.
I have.
You're like over the top fascinated, it seems.
I guess.
What is it about the Snowy Owl that like drives you bananas? Like
maybe because it's a little bit. We wouldn't see them at home.
It's a cool bird. Up until a couple of years ago, I've never seen one. So
we wouldn't see them at home. Kim talking about animals always has intrigued me. And her talking about the eruption this year, and I just made it my goal to see one. I want, you know, that's a goal. I want to go get and see one of these snowy owls, and I think it's just that they're a little bit rare and that it's unusual for me to see one, and that's my
you got a cool shot, the one where it's flying away and the two kind of like fluffy. What do you call talons or whatever?
I don't know.
But they're covered with like this fluffiness.
I know. They look so like fat cool. Little legs or something hanging off of there.
Yeah.
That
was a great shot.
Thank you.
I don't know how you got the focus on that.
Well, next time I'm going to try for one from the front. But that owl that day was sitting there and we were almost the only ones out
there. Was it in the same spot that it's been
nearly?
Well, generally. And it's going back and forth from that the chimney on that
apparently,
house to the...
Now, I've not seen that, but that's what I hear.
Well, it's what you told us. It was pretty much in the area that you said it's been sighted there, so mm-hmm. we've been looking.
And we were there, and the waves were going pretty good that day, so I think people that drove by thought we were taking pictures of the waves and didn't draw a big crowd. And he was right, you know, he was kind of right there. And then we start hearing, caw, caw, caw. The next thing you know, there were four or five crows, and they came across, and one of them, and this happened two or three times, dive bombed
right
at that
house. Trying to annoy them and move them out of there.
Yes. Snowy didn't move. It didn't bother Snowy, apparently. But
well, I tell him, it looked like he ducked one time. So it was a few times. That we saw the crows doing that, and then somebody was walking and they had a dog, and the dog kind of made some noise a little bit, and I think said, okay, I'm moving. So we just took off, and from where we were standing, he went in the direction that we didn't think he was going to go in, so that's why we got the backside.
Well, this owl went that day, went back and forth a couple of times. Short little back and forth things, so I don't know what was going on with that, but they're beautiful. It's unusual for me to see one. It's not something I would do at home.
What's amazing to me, so it's been there quite a bit on the back shore, and there have been people, like I go home from work or I come from work, and there are people like staked out there. Like at one point I think there was like 15 cars, and there was a ton of people outside of their cars, only about 25, 30 yards from him, which fine, I don't have a problem with whatever. But like the thing wasn't moving. He was face to face with like a ton of people, and it didn't move.
Yeah, I don't want the same picture everybody else has.
Yeah, well.
Which makes things a little harder. Mm. Because I did want a picture of the snowy owl the first time. There were a lot of other people there, but the second time, there wasn't anybody else there. One other guy came around, and I'm not going to stand in that group.
What do you shoot with?
I have a Canon.
You do have a Canon.
Yeah, I do.
What number?
Well, this is a Rebel T5i or.
Saw today on Facebook Marketplace a Canon Mark
V D
with four lenses. A big long lens and everything else. So I think the Mark V, those are the full frame ones, right?
Yes, they are. Yeah,
so
that's a nice
$1,650 with the four lenses, which I thought was
a
good buy for somebody.
We've been debating. There's been a debate going on in my head. I'm this close to, very, very close to getting a new lens.
She deserves it. I say go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to be around here and you're going to be taking photos.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. I just got to pull the trigger.
When we saw the seals down there,
there's nothing worse than when you don't have you don't have a long enough lens. Like here, like for the longest time, and I still don't have a long lens. All I have is my camera phone. Most of my photos now are with my cell phone. But for for a long time, I just had a little Sony, but it didn't have a long zoom. So it's...
Yeah.
It had a digital zoom, so as soon as you zoom out a little bit, the picture just falls apart.
Flatten it out.
And and there's so much waterfall and stuff like here
right.
And I'm just at a point where I'm not gonna lug a big camera around. If I was retired, maybe I would.
My long lens is on my camera all the time. It's pretty much my full time lens. But I had to. This lens is, I think, a 300 millimeter, and the one I had previously was 400 millimeter, and I kind of missed that. And this new one I'm looking at is 600. So,
oof,
I'm
big lens.
Yeah.
There you go.
Lens envy, we call it.
Well, we got football to look forward to. How long are you guys going to be in town for?
We're here till the end of the month, and we'll be back. We're going to go home for a couple days and come back.
We'll be back in February.
All of February.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. All right.
I wanted to mention, though, before, if we have a minute,
yeah,
that we did go to, we slid by it, and I kind of forgot. We went to Cape Ann community cinema this week to see Coco, and we took the kids with us, and it was lovely. We had a, it was, there were a lot of people in there. I think it was Martin Luther King Day, so people were, kids weren't in school, and I liked the setup. The lady was very friendly and nice, and again, I bought tickets online, and that made it easy peasy, and we were glad we went. Probably going to go again some other time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's my kids love it.
I bet they do.
They love the
whole. I've never been to that kind of atmosphere.
Oh, they love the couches, and you can put your feet up and bring a blanket, and it's home.
They like the popcorn and all the different toppings.
She had like this long.
She put a tray of cookies out for the kids.
Yeah, that was the big hit.
And that was a big hit. Yeah. You just go home, just take a
They have cookies. Oh, okay.
That's a great take.
It was great. It was a good thing.
There we go. All right, GloucesterCast 260. We'll get a nice round. We get a nice round number there.
Nice round number, yeah.
That's in the books, guys.
All righty.
Down, 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 down.
No trumpet again.
I know. He wants me to sing it. Lobster till the end.